This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
When detectives sat Richard Allen down to discuss the Delphi murders of Abby and Libby, they didn't exactly invite him in for tea and biscuits. Instead, they tried every trick in the book to break him down using flawed forensic claims, pressure, emotional appeals, flat-out lies. It's like they watched too many episodes of Law & Order without checking the science homework first. Psychotherapist Siobhan Scott joins us today to help unpack what exactly was happening in the interrogation room, and we have a lot of clips to walk through and witness as far as what happened now that they are released. Siobhan, before we do that, when interrogators use exaggerated or even fictional expert evidence, because that's what was used in here, to pressure someone into confessing something they didn't do, how does that typically impact someone psychologically, especially like this, where, again, I don't believe he did it. And I think a lot of people don't believe that he did it. So we're going to operate on that plane.
It really is designed to coerce a confession. And a lot of us have ethical concerns about the tactics that are used in these kind of interrogations. But it is pretty standard, you know, across most law enforcement agencies. And it is designed to elicit cognitive and emotional fatigue to completely break the person down. And at some point, a vulnerable person may just agree because they want out of the pressure. So they may say they did it when, in fact, they didn't.
And you never got a confession out of him while he was in a good place, in a right. sane, healthy mindset. But the argument is, oh, well, he confessed later in those phone calls. And we're going to get to that in just a little bit. But at what point, I mean, I get some of these tactics, although some of them are pretty archaic and don't really work very well. There's other ways of handling these sort of things. You'd wish there was more education for investigators that they could adopt some of that. But, I mean, it's like we're watching, you know, like a 1950s episode of Matlock or something. It's like, what's going on here? When you're not getting what you want, which they clearly were not getting what they wanted, at what point do you stop? At what point do you go, maybe this isn't our guy? I mean, that's a question. I mean, when do you finally go, okay, we've tried to break him and we're not getting anything here?
Right. And it's painful to watch, particularly when you see his genuine distress and confusion. It's you know, it's excruciating.
It is. We're going to start taking a look here at one of the clips from the interview. We're going to start at the beginning. So we have, basically, there was two interviews that were done. There was one where it was initially him and some investigators, and they start out kind of friendly, trying to gain his trust. And then they slowly introduce some evidence in, and he firmly denies it. And there's another interrogation that happens a little bit after that, and we'll watch some clips from that as well, where they get a little more intense, and they eventually arrest him. And then we have the jailhouse calls that start from beginning to crazy. Let's start at the very beginning so everybody has a context on what Richard Allen, you know, really was like before being put into a box for more than a year and tortured. This is initial interrogation.
Good luck finding anything that points in that direction. I mean, it's not me. You're not going to make me believe it's me. You're not going to find anything that ties me to those murders. So I'm not really that concerned. You know, you went from trying to, I don't know what you want to say, get my trust and then slowly lure me into telling you I killed somebody and I'm not going to do it. You know, I don't know where this changed course.
I'm not trying to give you a hard time. Really not. I just want you to put yourself in the situation where we as police officers are looking at all the evidence that we have and what you've told us right now. Okay? Okay, not trying to give you a hard time. Just want to make sure that we get everything taken care of here. That's why we wanted to look at the things that we wanted to look at.
And that's not going to happen now. I mean, like I said, we're done here. So arrest me or take me home.
I understand. So
arrest me or take me home. I'm done.
These are stupid. Okay. So that day, on that day, you went out there on the bridge and that you were wearing the same clothing that basically the same clothing that this person here is wearing.
That's what you think. I don't know how you can tell that that's a black Carhartt coat, which is what I told you, a black or blue Carhartt coat. Blue jeans.
So that's him initially, just very, you know, he's frustrated because they keep accusing him. They initially had walked him into what were you wearing that day? And he was somewhat vague about it. It's like a blue or a black Carhartt coat, probably, because they're asking him to remember what he wore 6 years ago on a hike. And then jeans. And so they're saying because he was wearing that, it must be him. I would challenge anybody to go to Delphi, Indiana on that day and see how many men were out there walking around in a Carhartt coat and jeans. I'm going to guess a high percentage was out there like that. What did you take off of that clip where he's, you know, he seems to be very sincere in my estimation?
Yeah, yeah. It's listening to him, it feels very genuine. It feels very sincere. Now, that doesn't mean that sometimes people who are guilty can't present that way. But the other thing I really notice is how cogent he is, and his affect is normal. He's offended, which, you know, if any of us were accused of something we didn't do like that, we'd be offended by it. And he doesn't seem incredibly nervous at this point in this clip because he's convinced that he's innocent. And that's how it comes off to me. But this is clearly not a man at this point who is showing any signs of psychosis.
No, and he's very much like onto them right away. He's calling him out. He's like, no, I didn't do this. You're not going to. And he's confident, which one would think you would be confident if you didn't commit the crimes. Like, yeah, go look at whatever you want, but I'm not just going to give you carte blanche to wander around my house and talk to everybody in my world. You got to have some more evidence to come in and do that sort of thing. And so they eventually had the bullet, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But here he is right now talking about not wanting to be the fall guy in this.
I don't want to be somebody's fall guy, and we're going to try to make pieces of a puzzle fit somewhere they don't fit so we can close this thing, I guess. And I'm not saying you guys, please don't think I'm questioning your integrity. That's not what I'm saying. I just, okay. I mean, I guess that's where I'm at. It doesn't seem like a simple conversation we're having. It seems more like you think I might have done it. So
I understand what you're saying. I completely get what you're saying or how I would feel from your point of view. Okay.
Yeah.
But from our situation, what we're trying to do is be able to show what all you were doing that day. Take a look at everything. Make sure that we can show that what you're saying is true. Okay, so that we can be able to say to someone else, whoever's prosecuting this case, look, we looked at Mr. Allen, he's not our guy. And we looked at him because we looked at his phone. I was going to ask you something else, too, be able to look at your car, and also, with your permission, we'd like to look at your house. And so all these things are very, very important just to be able to...
No, I get that. I mean, I'm not going to, I mean, if you get to a point where you think that I need further investigating and you want to get a warrant, that's fine, but I'm going to have somebody going through my house and everything.
Reasonable request. Reasonable to say, no, you're not just going to walk into my house. What's your thoughts on how this is going?
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, he's being very reasonable with them and even going to the point of saying, I'm not questioning your integrity. I mean, he's treating them with courtesy, but assertiveness, which is entirely appropriate.
Yeah, it's, again, just I've watched a lot of interrogations and I've never, maybe I'm biased because I do have an opinion on this, but I've never seen one where the guy looks more innocent than I've seen in this one. I've seen somewhere where the people are innocent and they look somewhat guilty or at least questionable. Yeah. This one just, I don't know. I can see myself in Richard Allen. I think a lot of us can see ourselves in that of just like, yeah, you would be offended. Like where are you even coming up with these sort of things?
Right.
And do you think they already have their mind made up here that they're going to eventually get him?
It does seem that way, doesn't it?
It really does. It feels like we're gonna kind of play it like this, but we already know that it's gonna be you. We want to go through your house. We want to do this or that. Here's another clip from that initial investigation. Them kind of throwing it back in his court of, as his frustration continues to mount, them asking, well, how would you handle this if you were us, is another tactic.
Tell me what you would do differently if you were in our situation. You had this information. How would you react? What would you do? You do the same thing that we were doing right now.
What information is it that you have?
We have.
You have that I was out there, and I told you from the very beginning that I was out there.
Yes, you did.
I didn't hide it.
Did you see this guy?
I didn't know.
Okay.
I told you, I see the only person that I clearly remember seeing that, and this isn't from the day, I mean, this is the next day. The only people or person that came into my mind were those three girls that I seen.
Richard, we're not upset with you, not mad at you, anything like that. We're just
sure.
trying to get to the bottom of
okay.
this, okay? No, I'm not, you know, I'm not here to give you a hard time. I'm just here to try to get the situation straightened out. Mm-hmm. And what we want to do is simply get to the truth. What would help us get to the truth is being able to look inside of some of the things you're talking about, okay?
And I get that,
okay? And maybe
then on the other side of things,
here.
Sure. And on the other side of things, if I thought I had something that was going to help you, that would... You know, what do I have that's going to help you?
Okay. Well, I have some questions we can go through here, if you don't mind.
Again, whatever is going to help you. And keep in mind, this is 6 years after the crime. This is after he already went in initially and said, hey, how can I help?
Right, right.
And suddenly they think that they got their guy. And what was your reaction to that one?
Yeah, and they'll do just about anything. I mean, they're pulling out every possible technique they've got to try to get the response that they want. Mm-hmm. And it does seem like their mind is made up. They've got their guy as far as they're concerned.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.